Omaha Public Radio presents another lecture program from Metropolitan Community College on Noon Forum. Today's guest speaker will be Calvin Mackey, President and Chief Executive Officer of the Channel Zero Group, an educational and motivational consulting company he co-founded in 1992. Mr. Mackey will present the keynote address at the 4th Annual Men of Distinction Conference held at Metropolitan Community College. This program was recorded by Omaha Public Radio on Monday afternoon, December 3, 2012, for broadcast at this time. The opinions expressed are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of Metropolitan Community College, KIOS-FM, or the Omaha Public School District. Calvin Mackey graduated from high school with low test scores, requiring him to take special remedial classes at Morehouse College. He completed his degree in mathematics, graduating magna cum laude, and a member of the prestigious Phi Beta Kappa National Honor Society. He was simultaneously awarded a bachelor's degree in mechanical engineering from Georgia Tech, where he subsequently earned his master's and Ph.D. in mechanical engineering. Mr. Mackey's inspirational memoir, A View from the Roof, Lessons for Life in Business, has been adopted as educational course material by numerous secondary and college teachers throughout the country. His newest book, Grandma's Hands, Cherished Moments of Faith and Wisdom, was published in 2012. Here now to deliver the keynote address at the 4th Annual Men of Distinction Conference at Metropolitan Community College is Calvin Mackey.
First, I'd like to give thanks to God for giving me the mental, physical, and spiritual strength to stand before you. Next, I'd like to say thank you to Metropolitan Community College for having me. Ms. Gooch, Mr. Conley, thank you for all that you did to get me to your fair city. I'd like to say thank you to Tava for all that she did to facilitate my travel here. I'd like to say thank you to Mr. James Mason from the 100 Black Men of Omaha for standing up and doing what men's supposed to be doing in our community. Young people, I spent a lot of time saying thank you because it seemed like we've been raising an entire generation of young people who don't know the meaning of the words like thank you, excuse me, hard work, sacrifice, persistence. And Ms. Gooch, I don't want to be confused with them because my mother raised me differently. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Now, my name is Calvin Mack, and I'm from New Orleans, Louisiana. I'm from Backertown, Girtown, Zion City. I'm from that Lower Nine where we don't mind dying. I'm from that Wild Magnolia. I thought I told you. I'm from that CP3. You know me. Don't be acting brand new, man. It ain't going to be that type of day, homeboy. All right? Now, there's just some things I got to get off my chest, a couple of caveats. My beautiful wife, Tracy, believes that I'm ADD and I've never been treated before. So, young men, there's no way I can stand at this podium and do it like that. I got to do it like this, you know, because I got to move around, man. I got to get it on, you know. I'm a Hurricane Katrina evacuee, Hurricane Katrina refugee, and a Hurricane Katrina survivor. And as young Jeezy would say, a soul survivor. Yeah, you're right. Young men, the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina a couple of years ago, when you all was real little, my family lost 29 houses. 7 years ago, March, I lost my daddy, and 6 days before that, I lost my stepmother. We had 2 funerals in 3 days, real life, because they couldn't get the treatment that they deserved in the aftermath of the greatest man-made disaster in the history of this country in a free country called America. At the one-year anniversary of Hurricane Katrina, we had over 45,000 children who look like you suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder, and not $1 had been allocated for their treatment in a free country called America. And young men, I go around this world now with one purpose, to make sure that never again any of us end up on a roof or a street corner waiting for a man, a woman, a government to do for us what we otherwise could do for our world. Yeah. Young men, we got to get some dirt beneath our feet, some wind behind our back, and put something in our head so that we could take care of our world. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. See why we got a little secret. Now, the people here don't tell them. Now, y'all going to get the secret today. And a secret is something I know and you don't that's going to help you. A secret is something you know and I don't and you give it to me. It's going to help me. I'm going to let you on a little secret. See why we playing and clowning. See why we running here, running. See why we worrying about Jay-Z, Beyonce, and a baby named Blue. See why we worrying about who Kim Kardashian going to sleep with next. See why we around here talking about I'm riding around, I'm getting it. It's mine. You see why we worrying about that? See why we running around talking about riding around my Nina? I'm riding around with Keisha. I got a condo on my wrist, girl. I'm cashing out. I got a condo around my neck, girl. I'm cashing out. See why we worrying about all that, bruh? See why we worrying about all that? See why we worrying about our Xbox 360 and our PS2? See why all of us got our, see why all of us are on Facebook and nobody won't put their face in a book? See why you worrying about all that? I want to let you in on a little secret. Right now, young men, right now, young men, right now, there's a little kid in India and a little kid in China studying under the cloak of darkness till a candle, preparing for the day to kick your behind. And it's not even personal. It's not even personal. They don't care if you black. They don't care if you white. They don't care if you Asian. They don't care if you Hispanic. They don't care if you never knew your dad or your mom is a crackhead. The only thing they want to do is take advantage of the opportunities that black men and other American children are not taking advantage of in a place called America. Keep tripping. Keep tripping. Nah, bruh. Nah, keep tripping. Chris, if you think there's a black man in the White House preparing for your future, I got a piece of a broken levee in New Orleans I want to sell you. President Obama can create all opportunities in the world that he wants. But if you're not prepared to take advantage of him, you're just another sucker standing on the corner with a sign saying, help me, when you otherwise could have helped your... Hey, bro, y'all feel that? Do you feel it? No, that's where we got to be. That's where we got to be. That's where we got to be. I did a drive-by the other day. Buxner come to brothers almost like kryptonite to Superman. Me and my boys riding around the other day. Big black Escalade. And I saw some young men on the corner. I'm like, look, bruh, slow down. He said, Mackie, don't do it, bruh. Don't do it. I said, I gotta do it. He said, Mackie, all this violence gotta stop. We gotta stop black on black violence, Mackie. Don't be a part of it. I said, bruh, slow down. I gotta do it. And the brothers on the corner was looking. And when he slowed down, I took about 5 books and I slung them out the window. Wham! They were like, oh, no, not a book. Hey, man. Hey, something got to be wrong when brothers are ready to take bullets than books. The secrets to the universe are in the books that we no longer read. You better read, read, and read. And when you get tired of reading, you know what you better do? Read and read and read. When you get tired of reading, and when you get tired of reading, you know what you better do, bro? Read, read, read. The secrets to the universe are in the books that we no longer reading. We on Facebook and won't put our face in a book. Then you want somebody to give you something. Who gonna help me? America's a place where you take out of America what you want. That's the freedom we got up to do every day. Young men, I travel the world. Never would I thought in the last 4 years I've sat down with every president since Jimmy Carter sans Ronald Reagan. You go to my Facebook page, you see a picture with me and President Obama like this. You see a picture with me and President George Bush. I sat down with the president, with Prince Alexander in the Netherlands. I sat down with Prince Farhad and Faisal Mohammed of Saudi Arabia. I sat down with the Deputy Prime Minister of Kuwait. I traveled to Nova Scotia. And in Nova Scotia, I toured all over Nova Scotia. And in New Orleans, we eat shrimp, bro. We love shrimp. In Nova Scotia, they eat shrimp like we eat lobster like we eat shrimp. Lobster in the morning, lobster at lunch, lobster at dinner. Gangster. A couple of years ago, I had the opportunity to tour northern Quebec with the indigenous people of North America, the Cree Nation. And I had to fly to a place called Wamaxtu at the base of the James Hudson Bay, 1,500 miles north of Montreal, bro. And when I flew in there, and I landed, because you can't drive in there, it's like the frozen tundra. And I saw a sign. And the sign said, beware, polar bear alert. And I turned to my client, I'm like, polar bear? He said, yeah, Mackie, they got a polar bear loose. You think they ate a dog? You better be careful. I'm like, man, if I see it, what should I do? He said, man, don't worry about the polar bear. You ain't got nothing to worry about. I said, why? He said, polar bears don't eat dark meat. Yay! So I'm in northern Canada, and I'm sitting in a teepee. This is on my Facebook page. I'm in a teepee eating moose, goose, and caribou. Gangsta. Moose was good. In January, the average temperature, minus 40 degrees C. I'm up there for 2.5 weeks. And I'm like, why y'all bring me all the way to northern Canada? They said, well, Mackie, he said, you know, we did a deal with the Canadian government, but it brought us a whole lot of money. And he said, the chief said, I took 10 villages. The 10 villages we had, and we built new schools in every village. And we built new whiteboards, and we brought in the best teachers. And he said, I put together a program such that if my kids graduate from high school, they get free tuition to college. Not only do they get free tuition to college, but we give them $2,500 a month living expenses. Not only that, but we give them 4 round trip tickets. In case they get homesick, they can always come back home. He said, Dr. Mackey, we got a 92% dropout rate. I said, okay, that's bad. But why you bring me to Canada? He said, Dr. Mackey, inside of every person is 2 warring dogs. He said, Dr. Mackey, they fighting me and they fighting you. In Omaha, I'm here today to let you know that those 2 dogs fighting you too, and each and every one of you all, especially in North Omaha. He said, these 2 dogs fight every day. He said, the good, intelligent dog fight the evil, bad dog every day. The good, intelligent dog fight the evil, ignorant dog every day. And every day when you get up, Dr. Mackey, those 2 dogs fight. He said, Dr. Mackey, which one of those dogs are going to win in you? And I said, Chief, I don't know. He said, the one you feed the most. Omaha, we're here today because we need to feed the good, intelligent dog, the evil, bad dog, ignorant dog winning. We now live in a nation where it seems like the more stupid you are, the more ignorant you are, more than likely we'll take you and put you up on a pedestal and tell you to be like him or her. And then you're so ignorant, you don't even know chicken or the sea is tuna. Or you hanging around waiting for Flavor Flav to tell you what time it is. If Flavor Flav got the right time, something wrong with all us. But in our community, Flavor Flav got more access to the eyes and ears and minds of young men like you than young men like me. He said, Dr. Mackey, what are you going to feed the most? I brought you to Canada, young man, Dr. Mackey, because you are feeding your kids in America something such that who they become is influencing our kids. Such that I'm in northern Canada, 1,500 miles north of Montreal, in a place that's not accessible by a car, and I see young men walking around with their pants hanging down. Or I see the N-word scored on the side of a teepee. And when I jump on the young brothers in with mocks do, say, how can you use that word? They say, no, doc, that ain't the N-word you're thinking about. I said, well, what is it? He said, you see, we natives with attitudes. I said, but we the teacher. There was never a student without a teacher. But young men, we here today, men of distinction. Metropolitan College, 100 black men, the city of Omaha, we're here today to teach you something different. Young men, you got to get this thing right. We got to get this thing right. And I'm going to give you 3 words to get it right. If you want to be good, study discipline. And I know they didn't talk to y'all today about discipline. You need discipline in your life. You got to get up in the morning and be about something. You got to be about doing stuff. All y'all play sports, understand discipline. But somehow when we get off the basketball court or football court, we don't understand discipline anymore. You don't understand that your dress makes a difference. But if you're on a basketball court and you're coming down a basketball court and it's time to win the game and your jersey hanging out and the referee say, tech, because your jersey hanging out, everybody in the stands will say, you stupid fool, put your jersey in because you're hurting us in a game of, if it's the end of the game, and Nebraska about to beat Oklahoma, and they're on the goal line with 1 second left, and a quarterback jersey hanging out, and they get ready to ship the ball, then they throw a personal foul, and they say a personal foul on the quarterback because his jersey was hanging out. Everybody say, you stupid fool, put your jersey in because you're hurting us in the game of. But when you're walking down the street, with your pants hanging down your behind, with your shirt hanging out, looking like you're about to do something dastardly, you don't understand that you're hurting yourself and hurting all of us in a game of, it's all a game, bro. In basketball, you touch the ball with 2 hands, double dribble. Football, you step on the white line, it's out of bounds. Why we can't understand that we got rules in life that otherwise gonna dictate whether we go to jail or whether or not we go to college and become a success. Discipline. Now, if you wanna be the best, study sacrifice, bro. You got to sacrifice to be the best. You got to have some discipline, and then you got to sacrifice. What sacrifice mean? You might have to leave Omaha to achieve to become the best. What sacrifice mean? You have to make a decision between whether you're going to hang with your boy and go over there, because going that way is wrong. You just might have to sacrifice some people. And a lot of us don't want to sacrifice. Benjamin Elijah Mays said, I'd rather go to hell by choice than to go to heaven by following the crowd. Many of us don't want to stand alone. See, one night my cousin went left, I went right, he got shot by grace. I did. We got back together. Next night, he went right, I went left. Now he's doing 25 to life in Angola State Penitentiary. 25 with an L. I chose not to go with him. And every time I go see him in jail, he said, I wish I would have gone with you. I wish I would have listened. But if you want to be great, and my tagline is achieving personal greatness. If you want to be great, not only do you have to study discipline, not only do you have to study sacrifice, but to be great, you got to study and master suffering. But to be great, Chris, you got to suffer something. Jacob, there's some things you got to suffer. And many of us are living in a situation right now where we're suffering, and we want to wallow in that suffering, then using that suffering such that we reach for our greatness. People say, Kelvin, you're 40 years old. How have you done so much, bro? How have you done so much and you 40? I'm 40. I haven't done that. How have you done that? I said, I did it when you was asleep. Only thing that comes to a sleeper is a dream. They said, Mac, you've done so much at 40 years old. I mean, President Obama just made 50. Look what he did at 40 years old. They said, this other cat, 40 years old. They said, man, how have you done so much at 40? I said, I'll make it very clear to you. He said, how? I said, I'll make it very clear. He said, how? I said, you see, at 40 years old, white men running the world. He said, yeah. I said, but at 40 years old, black and brown men just coming out the club. I came out at 29. Damn, I wish I would have come out at 21. What you want to be, bro? What greatness you want to achieve? And young man, if you put your mind to it today, I promise you, right where you are, 10 years, you look back on it right now and say, wow. If you start working right now like you never imagined, your next 4 years, you'll be in a place that you'll never imagine. See, growing up in the city of New Orleans, no one ever thought, bro, that me, Kelvin Mack, would be doing the things that I'm doing. I'm going to a Christmas White House party in a couple of weeks. Sometimes I pinch myself, bro, like, oh, damn, I'm at the Super Bowl up in here. They don't know they done let me up in here. Because, see, growing up in the city of New Orleans, the only thing I wanted to do, young man, was go to the NBA and save my family. I had a wicked crossover and a jump shot that just wouldn't quit. Every time I would come in the gym, whole gym would go, shh, because you know it's going to be raining threes all night long. A little dude named Avery Johnson, the coach of the Brooklyn Nets, was my backup. I was recruited by a university called Creighton that I had never heard before in a place that I never wanted to go called Omaha. And one night I took a long jump shot. One of the few jump shots I missed ricocheted off the rim, and I went to get the ball, but a young man beat me to the ball. He grabbed my ball in my arm. They went that way, I went this way, and I separated my shoulder. My coach picked me up. He took me to the hospital. We got to the hospital. The doctor came, and the doctor looked, and the doctor said, oh, no, and he ran back out. Young man, the doctor came back in with four more doctors, and all five of the doctors got around me, and they took a sheet, and they tied me up. They did a tug of war and popped my shoulder back in. They said, young man, there's two things we want to tell you. And I went gangsta on them. I'm like, what? You know, I was like Kanye West. Wait till I get my money right. Nobody's going to be able to tell me nothing. I said, what? They said, son, you suffered a traumatic shoulder separation. And two, you'll never be able to play basketball again. But I wouldn't. Young man, when we won't listen, we're already a part of the walking, breathing, living dead with no future and no hope. Young men, we got to. When we don't listen, there are always consequences. Right then and there, those doctors, those experts, those people that have been there before told me to go have surgery, but I wouldn't. So 20 years later, 30 more shoulder separations, I'm speaking at the University of Michigan in front of like 3,000 people. I'm up on the stage acting a fool. I do something, my shoulder pop out in front of everybody. Bam. My client run up on the stage. My client said, what's wrong? I said, my shoulder out. My client said, what to do? I said, hold me. So you got two grown men on the stage. And I said, your client said, what did you do? I said, man, turn my shoulder, turn my shoulder. So my client took my shoulder and he twisted, bam, and popped it back in front of everybody. Client grabbed the mic. He said, I'm sorry, we got to stop. Dr. Mack has injured himself. We got to go. With my good arm, I grabbed the mic, took it from him. I said, excuse me, people. I said, but I have two small sons, 7 and 8 years old, Miles and Mason. This is what I tell them every day. Every day, this is what me and Miles and Mason say. I said, boys, they said, yes, daddy. I said, boys, Mackey men are smart. They finish what they, young men, y'all got to finish this thing. You're smart. You got to finish it. And I finished that speech, holding my shoulder with one hand and a mic like this. And when I came off the stage, they took me to the hospital. Went through 4 hours of surgery because I wouldn't listen. After 4 hours of surgery, I had to go through 18 months of rehab. After 18 months of rehab, since I wouldn't listen, this is only as high as I can raise my shoulder now because I wouldn't listen. And like I said, when you don't listen, there are always consequences. God forgives, but he don't change the consequences. And, bro, now, since I wouldn't listen, when my two sons score a touchdown, I'm at the game like this. Touchdown! Everybody laughing. My son's embarrassed. They're like, who daddy? They're like, they ain't my daddy. Because I wouldn't. Brothers, y'all got to listen. The information being given out today here can transform your 7.5 million people in the world. Every last one of them was born, and there will be a day when every last one of them, in between that birth and that death, is something called, and it's what you do with it. My coach picked me up. He took me home. He got to my house. He knocked on my door. Knock, knock, knock. Young men, my mom went to a state-approved Negro high school in Louisiana. My daddy dropped out of school in 8th grade to pick cotton. I grew up in a house with no books. But the only thing my mom wanted for her 6 children was an education. And my coach turned to my mom, said, Ms. Mack, I'm sorry to tell you, but your son will never be able to play basketball again. My mom looked at me and she only had one thing to say. She said, what are you going to do now? We told you to study. We told you to study. I said, Mama, what about my shoulder? She said, boy, shut up and get in this house. That's a real mama there. We need more mamas like that. Miss Gucci, we could change this thing. I came in the house, I laid in the bed, looked up, said, God, what am I going to do? And God said, boy, don't worry about your shoulder. You're going to do more for this world with your head than you ever thought you'd do with your legs and your arms. Young men, the next day I got up and I went to school to find my favorite teacher, Miss V. And when I walked into the classroom and said, Miss V, you heard about my, she said, shut up, Calvin. We heard about your shoulder. She said, but what are you going to do now? We told you to study. We told you to study. She said, what you going to do, Calvin? I said, Miss V, I don't know. She said, Calvin, I don't know ain't good enough no more in the 21st century. Young men, the 21st century, there only be two types of people. And it won't be black or white. It won't be Asian or Hispanic. In the 21st century, there only be two types of people. Those in the know and those not in the know. Men of distinction, we're here today because we want you all to be in the know. She said, tell me something, Calvin. It's all right, Miss B. I want to be an engineer. She said, who? You? You grew up in a house with no books. She said, Calvin, do you know what an engineer does? I said, no, but it sounds real good. She said, well, look, Calvin, you're going to be an engineer. You got to go to college. I said, bet, I'm going. She said, Calvin, nobody in your family ever been to college before. I said, I'm going. Young men, if nobody in your college ever been before, you make the commitment today that it's going to be you. I'm going. She said, look, Calvin, you don't go to college. You have to go take this test. I said, what test, Ms. V? She said, the SAT. Now, how many of y'all heard of the SAT before? Bet. Man, always create a test, brother, try to measure what's in you. Now, I was ignorant. And I was ignorant because I grew up in a house with no books. And don't get bent out of shape when people call you ignorant. Ignorant means you just don't know. Stupid means there's no hope for you. Flavor Flav, stupid. I was just ignorant. Bruh, I was so ignorant when they told me to go take the SAT. I thought SAT meant Saturday. And then I knew it meant Saturday because then they told me the test was on. Genius. So that Friday, Chris, I took my little girlfriend to the game. After the game, we went to the little dance where I got my boogie on with my broke on. Then I took my girlfriend home, and I got up on Saturday morning to take my Saturday test. And when I showed up, all the kids like y'all from Men of Distinction and from Gear Up in a School District and 100 Black Men Mentoring Program and Metropolitan College dual degree program at the high school, they were nervous and, you know, they had prepared. And they realized this test was very important and nobody could tell them. But I put my head down, man. They had to wake me up. I said, young man, wake up, take this test. And brothers, when they gave me that test, I looked at that test and I was so ignorant. I didn't know that word. It's a that word. So y'all know we do on those tests, but we don't know what we're supposed to know. I start going A, B, C, D, D, C, B, A, B, C, D. Woo, I better change this thing up. C, B, C, B. Yeah, I know all y'all got to the next grade. I looked around. I was the first one finished. I was like a bunch of dummies and put my head back. They had to wake me up and say, young man, wake up, go home. And brothers, back then we didn't have Facebook, MySpace, YouTubes, and websites. Back then we didn't have the internet. We had to wait 6 weeks on our scores. 6 weeks later, I went to the mailbox, and I opened it up, and I looked. I saw those scores. I reached in, I pulled them out, and I ripped them open, and I looked at them, and I said, oh, yeah. And I went to school to find Ms. V. When I got to school, Ms. V said, Calvin, you got them? I said, I got them, Ms. V. Ms. V said, Calvin, how did you do? Ignorantly and confidently, I looked at Ms. V. I said, Ms. V, I got 84%. She said, Calvin, 84% on the SAT? You? That's unbelievable, Calvin. She said, but Calvin, I never heard the test explained in percentages before. She said, Calvin, what's your raw score? What's your total score, Calvin? Ignorantly and confidently, young man, I looked at her and I screamed, 840. She said, no, boy, you got some issues. She said, Calvin, the test is not out of 1,000. The test is out of 1,600. You don't have 84%. You barely have 50%. She said, Calvin, that's not good. You need to go take that test again. I said, oh, no, not that Saturday test. I'll stick with my Friday test. I do much better on Friday. Young man, I was ignorant. But guess what? Ms. V realized that man cannot create a test to measure what's inside of you if you're willing to work towards it. And just like Ms. V wouldn't give up on me, Men of Distinction are not going to give up on you. Metropolitan College is not going to give up on you. 100 Black Men not going to forgive on you. She said, Calvin, you still want to be an engineer? I said, bet. She said, Calvin, there's a college recruitment fair at the New Orleans Superdome on Saturday. Go over there. Young man, next Saturday, I went to that Superdome. I kicked the door open. And when I walked in, first table I saw was like the Georgia Tech engineers. It's like divine intervention. I want to be an engineer. And the first table I see is Georgia Tech. So, young man, I go to the Georgia Tech table. And the guy at Georgia Tech said, what can I do for you, son? I said, I'd like to be an engineer. He said, you came to the right place. We the Ramblin' Wreckman, Georgia Tech, and heck of an engineers. I was like, yeah. He said, son, what's your SAT score? Ignorantly and confident, I looked at him and I screamed, 840. He was shaking his head. He wouldn't even give me an application. He said, boy, you can't come to our school with an 840. I never even heard anything like that. You see, young men, when we don't do what we're supposed to do, that give men and women a right to slam doors in our. Matter of fact, when we don't do what we're supposed to do, they didn't slam the door in our face. We slammed it in our. We're here today to make sure that that does not happen to any one of you. He said, you can't come here. He just happened to point at a little raggedy table. Table like this, didn't even have a skirt on it. He said, go over there, just a dude at the table, like my brother here. And I went over to that table, and I got at the table and said, what can I do for you, son? I said, man, I don't know, that dude over there told me to come over here. He said, son, what you want to be? I said, I want to be an engineer. He said, you came to the right place. He said, son, what's your SAT score? This time, I'm like, I said, man, I can play some ball. He said, no, I need those scores. I said, man, I can dance. He said, no, I need those scores. This time, I whispered. I said, 840. He was shaking his head. He said, I tell you what, son, you're a diamond in a rough, but a diamond sure enough. He said, sign right here and come to Morehouse. We'll make you into a doctor. We'll make you into a lawyer. We'll make you into an engineer. See, Men of Distinction, there's a place for you in America. It may not be Nebraska. It may not be Oklahoma, Notre Dame, or USC. But you do what you're supposed to do. There'll be a place in America to take you in. June 1985, my mom took me to Morehouse College in Atlanta. She had never been to college campus before. Brothers, when I got to the college campus, everybody laughed at the way I talked because we talked funny. We talk funny in New Orleans. You know, baby Lil Wayne, we talk funny. Everybody laughed at the way I was talking because I was saying things like, I'm about it, how you do that there. I'm the man right here. You heard me, Lil Wody? It's off the heezy for sheezy up in here, cousin. They said, see spot run? I was like, no. They said, right. They said, boy, don't pass go. They said, go directly to remedial reading. They said, boy, you're reading on about an eighth grade level. Can you imagine the pain and indignation I felt every day? My friends like you was going to World Lit and English Comp. I had to go down to the basement of a building at 18 years old with eighth graders where they called me and my buddy LD for Louisiana Dummies. And I grew up in a house with no books. When I got to college, I couldn't even conjugate the verb to be. It was I be, we be, you be, all us be up in here. And thank goodness Morehouse understood this thing called motivation and inspiration. And one of Morehouse's famous presidents is Dr. Benjamin Elijah Mays. He was the mentor to Martin Luther King, and they had his quote on the wall. And every day on my way to remedial reading and developmental mathematics, I read a quote that said, when you find out you're behind in a race of life, young men, we got two choices, run faster or quit. And young men, every day I got up and I started to run and run and run. You have to realize now you're living in a nation that has stopped spending money on everything. This country stopped spending money on everything but one thing, and that's the building of jails. Because Bill Gates has already done a study that said 30% of ninth graders are not going to finish high school, and if they're black or brown, it's 50%. They're building more jails because they know when you drop out of school, you're going to drop into, but not you all. That's why we're here today. That's not the plan for you. So every day I went down to the basement of that building, bruh, they put me in front of that computer, and every day they let the words go by faster and faster and faster. And every day I read and I read and I read, and every day the other boys laughed and they laughed and they laughed because I was 18 and they was like 12 years old. And after 3.5 years, after starting Morehouse in remedial reading and development of math, after being told that college wasn't for me, after 3.5 years, I finished Morehouse number one in mathematics, number five in the largest class that Morehouse had ever produced, magna cum laude, Phi Beta Kappa, which is the highest honor society in this nation. Thank you. Young men, thank you. When I walked off the stage at Morehouse, they said, Kelvin, who'd ever thought when your father dropped out of school in eighth grade, when your mother went to state-approved Negro high school, when the test said you wasn't college material, who'd ever thought you'd come to Morehouse to do the things you've done? They said, what are you going to do now, Kelvin? I said, man, you know what? He said, what? I said, bro, you know what? He said, what? I said, man, I'm going to go to Georgia Tech. It's only 1.5 miles away and $1.50 bus ride. On my heart, I don't allow anybody to stand between you or your dreams, not your mama, your daddy, your race, your socioeconomic background, or your crackhead cousin. Don't allow anybody to stand between your dreams. 2 weeks later, January 1989, I started Georgia Tech. 18 months later, I finished my second undergraduate degree, a BS in mechanical engineering. 2 degrees in 5 years to the inner city ghetto kid from back of town, Girk Town, Zion City of New Orleans, who they said never should have been in college in the first place. Don't get it twisted, bro. This is not about me, but it's about the greatness in you. Hey, look, if I did it, you definitely can do it. 2 years after that, I got a master's in mechanical engineering, 3 degrees in 7 years. Check it out. Everybody wanted me. Mobil Oil, Chevron, Exxon. Chevron gave me job interviews in Bakersfield, California, Texas, El Paso, Beaumont, Texas, Pascagoula, Mississippi. I turned them all down. But Chevron really wanted me. So they gave me a job interview in my hometown of New Orleans. Brother man, they took me on the elevator to the top of the building. At 24 years old, they gave me a check for $50,000. It said, join our organization. They took me to the top of the building, put me in a helicopter. They flew me over my house, took me out to an oil rig, put me in a seaplane, flew me back in, brought me back to the built top. And they said, Kelvin, you down with us? I said, man, you don't understand. When I was 12 years old, I put doctor on my door. Now, I thought I was going to be Dr. Jake. But since that didn't work out, I heard Georgia Tech has something else left in there. And young man, 4 years later, in 1996, I became one of 11 African Americans in the country that year to receive a PhD. And mechanical engineering. Thank you. Thank you. Now, Omaha, I didn't come here to brag. I came here to tell you that story to let you know that each and every one of us been impregnated with something so great such that if we give birth to it, it'll make Bill Gates look like a midget in the annals of history. But yet and still, too many of us are committed to having abortions on our dreams. What you want to be? What you dream about, bruh? I just don't believe God created all of us to be pimps, pushers, players, hustlers, and $2 tricks. I just don't believe that. He created you to do something such that when you no longer here, your name will last. But you got to find that, and you got to get up every day, and you got to work towards it and work like you never worked before. And it's funny. Jay-Z said, I'm a hustler, baby. I just want you to know. It's not where I've been, but where I'm about to. But he never told you where he was about to go. Every time you see Jay-Z now, he don't have on no big bag of jeans, no big white tee, or no rag on his head, or no twisties. Every time you see Jay-Z now, he has on a... Because he always was about the suit. But he sold you self-hate, misogyny, and disrespect so that he can make enough money so that he could be up in a press box with me and George Bush at the Super Bowl. Somebody been had. Somebody been took. Somebody been run amok. Somebody been hoodwinked. Somebody been bamboozled. And it looked like you. If you in the game and you ain't the pimp, then you are the... Oh, you said it. So what side of the game, McKay, you going to play on? What side of the game you going to play on? Because I create jobs. I create wealth. I make sure people can get up every day and take care of their kids. And people don't chase after me. I pay taxes and the police come and make sure that people don't break in my house. I pay taxes so I don't have to worry about litter in my neighborhood. What side of the game you going to play on, bro? Because in America, you got to get up every day and you got to make it happened. Martin Luther King wasn't killed because he had a dream. Martin Luther King was killed because he got up every day, and with every waking second, he tried to make his dream come. Now, I'm going to make this real to y'all before I sit down, because I know what make y'all move. I got a stack. I was supposed to be at Harrah's last night. I'm the best dice shooting professor in the country. Some things don't leave you when you grow up in the hood. I'm going to make this real to you, because it's the only thing y'all understand. We've destroyed an entire generation because we told you that this thing was about money. As a matter of fact, Puffy Cone said, more money? No, Puffy, more money, more stupid, more problems. You ain't got problems because you got more money. You got problems because you stupid. Now you got enough money to show us what? How stupid you are. Nah, I'm going to make this one clear to you. Everywhere I go, I drop some change. I love to get back to the economy, Councilman Gray. I believe in investing in y'all. I believe in investing in young people because young people invested in me. And it's funny how you all respond. This dollar ain't say nothing to you, and it made you talk. Now, by show of hands, who won this $100? Show of hands, who won it? Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right. Check this out, bro. If I take it and ball it up, who won it now? You still want it? If I take the joint on the floor and step on it, who won it now? You still want it? What if I take it and... spit on it. Who want it now? It might have that sauce. It might have that bird flu. You still want it? What if I take it in? Nah, I ain't that crazy, bro. What if I take it in? Rip it. Who want it now? You still want it? Come here, you still want it? You still want it? You can tape it? If I tape this, it's worth something? You sure? If I take this $100, it's worth something. So why you still want it? Because I can tape it. Right. You know why you want this $100? Because you know if y'all tape it up, the $100 still have the same. Young men, we're here today. We're here today. Don't miss the lesson. Brother man, don't miss the lesson. We're here today because just like this $100 bill, the people in the city of Omaha know that many of us in North Omaha, they know that many of us been stepped on. We know that many of us been spit on figuratively and literally. We know that many of us been touched in times and places we were never supposed to be touched. Many of us been abandoned. Many of our hearts been broken. But we here today to let you know no matter what you've been through, you still have. And don't let anybody destroy your value, especially you. So you get up every day and you increase your value. And when you do that, bruh, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, Indian, in a free country called America, nobody can take that value from you. In closing, I got to tell you who I really am. I got a little brother. And every time I go around the country and I speak to young men like you, I got to tell you about my little brother. And this morning I called my little brother. He said, man, you tell him. Tell him what you told me. Tell him what you told me May 31st, 1994, when I was in the eighth grade, and we sat there together and watched the undertaker come into our house and remove our mother's body. Tell him how after the undertaker removed our mother's body, me and you went out on the street and fought like cats and dogs till my lip was bloody and your knuckles was white because you made a promise on our mama dying bed that the streets of New Orleans would not have her last son. You tell them how I wouldn't listen to anybody. Tell them how I wanted to give up because I thought it was unfair because in the eighth grade, you know, I lose my mama. He said, but you tell them tomorrow gonna come. You tell them the sun gonna rise again, and if they get up and do what they're supposed to do in a free country called America, there will be opportunity for them. See, my little brother's name is Anthony Mackey. He was Papa Doc in 8 Mile. He was Tupac in Notorious. If you saw the movie Crossover, that was him. He's made over 30-something movies in the last 10 years. They say he's gonna be the next Denzel Washington. If you saw Abraham Lincoln, the Vampire Killer, that was him. If you saw Jessamine Biro, that was him. If you saw the movie Real Steel with the robots, that was him. If you saw Will Marshall with Matthew McConaughey, that was him. If you saw Manchurian Candidate with Denzel Washington, he died twice in the movie. It wasn't enough. They died, they brought him back to life, and they killed him again, like they do many young brothers today. But a couple of years ago, he was in a little movie called A Hurt Locker. And The Hurt Locker won 6 Oscars. And it was nominated for 9 Oscars. And people said, that was your brother? Your brother was in The Hurt Locker? I said, yeah. They said, which one? I said, the black one. The black one. That was my brother. Because see, many of y'all don't know him because he never done anything ignorant. Because he believed art's supposed to pick us up from where we are and bring us to another place. He doesn't believe art's supposed to play on our dysfunction, our maladies, so you won't see him running around in a dress. Or playing in, you know, Madea chokes on a chitlin. He's an artist, not an he's an artist, not an entertainer. Entertainer is someone that'll do anything for money. An artist is someone who only do those things that uplift the heart, the soul, and the mind, the spirit of the people. And I never forget when he made it to The Hurt Locker, when The Hurt Locker got nominated for 9 Oscars, he called me. He said, bruh, come on, man. I want you to come to L.A. We going to the Oscars. It's going to be shindolling. We going to be partying. He said, go get a tuck. I said, I'm on it. He said, we going to do this, and we going to be doing this. I said, look here, bro, tell Beyonce, I'm coming. He said, look, bro, we going to do all that. And then I went. Next day, I got measured for my tuck. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to the Oscars. I'm going to the Oscars. And then he called me back. He said, you got measured for your tuck? I said, yeah. He said, bam, I got that, bro. I'm going to send him this black V American Express. I'm like, bam, do you, dog? Do you? And then he called. He said, look, I'm sending you your first class tickets to L.A., bro. We going to be partying. I said, well, let it be partied. And then he said, look, I need you to fly in on this day. I looked at my calendar. And I said, oh, man. He said, what? I said, bro, I can't make it. He said, what you mean you can't make it? This the Oscars. I said, no, bro, I can't make it because I got to go speak to some kids in Arkansas. He said, some kids in Arkansas? You going to miss the Oscars for some kids in Arkansas? I said, yeah, because you've been saved already. We got to save y'all so y'all can save somebody else, young man. That's why we're here today. We got to save you. And like I told my brother, Chris, if you are who they say you are, a superstar, there'll be another Oscars. Now I'll catch it then, dog. But for right now, I'm going to Arkansas. Peace with 2 fingers. Now, never forget, sitting down there watching the Oscars, bro, and they announced the winner of Best Picture of the Year. It was The Hurt Locker. Hurt Locker beat out Avatar, who everybody thought, billion-dollar movie. And I see this little black boy run up on the stage with a bald head. And, I mean, he's screaming, and he acting a fool, and he kicking. And, I mean, you know, and I'm sitting at TV going, boy, act like you've been somewhere before. And, young men, tears start rolling down my chin because I started crying, wishing that my mom was still alive to see what she gave birth to. I started crying, wishing that my daddy, who died in my house, was still there to see his son speak to 44 million people. I was sitting there crying, thinking about all the teachers who told him he would never be nothing. And I hope they was watching the TV, knowing now that they don't know what's in your future. Stood there crying, thinking about the teachers who believed in him. Instead of kicking him out of school or sending him, you know, to expulsion, they found his talent and they nurtured his talent. My wife came in, she tried to kiss me. I said, I'm all right, babe. My phone started ringing. I put my phone down. And all night long, I sat there watching him jump from show to show. And at 4 a.m. in the morning, he texted me. And I took my little drink and sat on the counter. And I read the text. And the text said, man, we did it. Wiping tears from my eyes, I texted him back. I said, no, young brother. I could have hoped for you. I could have prayed for you. I even could have paid for you. But your greatness did not happen until you wanted it for your young men. Omaha could do all they could do. They can have a program like this every day. They can buy you books. They can give you computers. They can protect you. They can give you the best teaching. They can give you the best neighborhoods. But your greatness is not going to happen until you want it for your. Now, by show of hands, who want it? Who want it? Young men, we're not here to play, to dream, to drift. We have hard work to do and loads to lift. Shall not struggle. 'Tis God's gift. Be strong, and I wish you all the best. Thank you all for listening. Thank you. Thank you. You got time for questions? You got time for questions? Yes. Questions. Open the floor for questions. I just don't like to come and get on the mic and spit, and then don't give you a chance to spit too. Question, bro. Stand up, state your name.
My name is Fred Blount, and you know how you are a younger sibling or whatever. Like, I have eight other siblings.
Yes.
So there's nine kids in our house, both parents. Like, we were raised on morals. So, like, my grandpa always told me, treat people fair and do what's right. So what are some of the morals you were told that you were raised on that you still live by and tell other people?
Oh, what's your name, bro?
Fred.
Trent?
Fred.
Fred.
Yep.
Fred. I never forget what my daddy did me one day. My daddy dropped out of school in eighth grade. My daddy was hard. My daddy was a grown man. He got up. I lived in a house where everybody had to get up and go somewhere, bro. Everybody. 9 o'clock, everybody had to be gone. The dog used to leave. The dog used to come back at 5 o'clock muddy looking for dinner, too. The only thing my daddy gave me was hard work and ethics. I got tenure. I was a professor at Tulane University, the first and only African-American ever tenured in the history of the College of Engineering at Tulane University. Tenure means you got a job for life. In the back of the party, I had a big party. Everybody came. The mayor came. Everybody came. And everybody was celebrating. And my daddy backed up his little drink. He said, boy, this must be potent, all these potent people here. I said, yeah, Dad, this kind of big, Daddy. He said, I don't know what this tenure is. I said, that tenure means that, I passed a certain metric, and now I got a job for life, and they can't fire me. And my daddy, drinking his little drink, eighth grade education, he looked me dead in the eyes. And this is what he told me, Trent. He said, Fred? All right, Fred. I'm sorry, my man. This is what my daddy told me. He said, son, I don't know what tenure is, but this is what I do know. I don't know one man that'll take care of another man for the rest of his life. You better get up every day and do something for yourself. And let me tell you how profound that is. We had a big old party. I spent thousands of dollars celebrating the fact that I got a job for life. The only way I can lose that job is by an act of God. And guess what happened? God decided to act. Hurricane Katrina hit, and Tulane did away with his engineering program. So I lost a six-figure job overnight. If I wasn't doing it for myself, me and my family would have been on the young man, get up every day and do something for your. Now, Fred, to show you how deep that is, come here, Fred. This is my next book. This is my first book. My first book is all those things my daddy told me. My daddy told me one day, son, by law, I only owe you high school. Know what that meant? If there wasn't a law, he would have put me out at that time. Since the 10th grade, I've been taking care of myself, cutting grass, washing cars. Every day I'm hustling. You got me? Save my money. When I graduated from high school, I had $2,200 under the bed in a shoebox. Now, my daddy took it and said, boy, you shouldn't keep this money under the bed. Let me know when you want it. I ain't never got my money back. That's another lesson. Never give a man your money. All right? So that's some lessons from my daddy. But Fred, I had women in my life, too. And this is my new book called Grandma Hands, Cherished Moments of Faith and Wisdom. And it's all those sayings that women poured into my life that transformed us. Fred, somehow now, our grandparents were ignorant well, not ignorant. They were illiterate and wise and lived to be 100. Now we're educated and dying at 30. Because we don't have the wisdom our grandma had. My grandma used to say things like this, and the women going to preach this. My grandma used to say, every closed eye ain't sleep. Every goodbye ain't gone. Everything done in the dark will come to light. Misery loves company. Birds have a feather. And if you lay down with dogs, you get out with fleas. PhD. If you learn that PhD, the only problem is too many of our young women laying down with dogs and getting up with more than fleas. No, a lot of young men want to be dog. Instead of calling yourself dog, won't you spell it in reverse? Instead of D-O-G, won't you become G-O-D? God on this earth with a mission and a vision for your family and your community. That's in that book, Fred. I want you to have that. And Fred, I want to invest in you because you said you got 8 siblings. And Fred, this community got to rally around you because, Fred, if we lose you, we're going to lose 8 other siblings. They are looking at you. When my mama died, I could have quit. I couldn't quit because my younger brother and sister were looking at. And if I would have quit, that would have given my brother and sister every reason to quit. I love you, bro. One more question. Got to go.
So the job you have now, is this like the job you always wanted to do? Or
the job, I don't even know what I do, bro. Then he asked me, you know, is the job that I have now the job I always wanted to do? What's your name? I'm sorry.
Trayvon.
Trayvon?
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you, Trayvon. Check it out. Trayvon, Ted Turner, the founder of CNN, said that every man should have a dream so big such that they would have to die and come back to achieve it. That means you should have something so big you're trying to achieve such that it always you should always have a reason to wake up in the morning. And Trayvon, the only thing I ever wanted to do in my life was to do something nobody had ever done before. I mean, so when I got my doctorate, they said that was it. I was like, no, this don't feel right. So then when I got my first patent, I'm like, well, this nobody's ever done this before. That didn't feel like it. The job I have now, I am convinced is the job I'm supposed to have. And Trayvon, that means touching lives like yours. That's when I felt like I was making a difference. I got an engineering company right now. Young man, this gangster. I got an engineering company. We take grease, like from Popeyes and churches. We take waste vegetable oil, like your mom fried chicken. And we convert it into biodiesel and then sell it to oil companies. Gangster. I make fuel. I take sugar. We build these small refineries. I take sugar, alcohol, anything with alcohol in it, anything with sugar in it, we take it and make ethanol in these small refineries and then sell it to the oil companies. I go in the club and tell women that I make fuel. You see, back in the day, they didn't want me, but now since I'm hot, young man. So now, every day I get up, and I try to do something differently. I've written 2 books. I got 2 more coming out. I got a mixtape. I'm on iTunes. I got a mixtape. I'm trying to get Baby. I'm trying to get Manny Fresh, that used to be with Cash Money Records, to lay down my next mixtape with my speech over beats. So, young man, the answer is yes. I get up every day and try to do something such that I take you to another level or help you get to another level. That's all. Because there's somewhere I want you to meet me. And here's the crazy part. That's why I'm in a distinction here. There's somewhere we want you to meet us, and we can't take you there. We can't even pay for you to get there. You have to get there yourself. But I promise you, we're going to be there waiting on you. Know where that is? Top of the world. That's my job, bro, every day to get there and to be an example to every young man and hopefully young girl that I meet. I love y'all. Thank y'all.
You've been listening to a lecture program from Metropolitan Community College on Noon Forum. Today's guest speaker was Calvin Mackey, President and Chief Executive Officer of the Channel Zero Group, an educational and motivational consulting company he co-founded in 1992, and author of A View from the Roof, Lessons for Life and Business, and Grandma's Hands, Cherished Moments of Faith and Wisdom. Mr. Mackey has presented the keynote address at the 4th Annual Men of Distinction Conference held at Metropolitan Community College. This program was recorded by Omaha Public Radio on Monday afternoon, December 3, 2012, for broadcast at this time. Special thanks to Crystal Overmeyer, Public Relations Specialist at Metropolitan Community College, for helping to make the recording and broadcast of this program possible. Complete Noon Forum listings, as well as an archive of over 300 previous broadcasts, are available on our website, kios.org. Now, this is your producer and host, Bob Cote, thanking you for listening.